Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I'm a Madrid like Champions League. Every 25 kids, even the only feet. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a fun, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Running, although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
2023-24 chance for talk right here on Corner Flag Talk. That's right, we are back. We're back on YouTube. And where else would we want to discuss other than the transfer news, rumors, confirmation that is going on and that's going to dominate our next 2 months, guys? It's your boy John. It's a pleasure to be back here as we kickstart content for the 2023-24 season. So without further ado, let's get into it. Given that this is the first episode, I'm going to run through you guys how this is going to run. We're going to hopefully do one of these every single week, and we're going to split up each episode into three different categories. First one being confirmed moves that has happened over the past week or so. After being strong rumors that you, the viewers, get to send in and ask us to review. And lastly, if there's any position or suggestion that you guys want us to analyze, whether it be a rumor that might not be so strong or a position that you think your team needs fulfilling, we'll do that as well. For each one of these categories, we're going to use our rating system of red, yellow, green to gauge how we feel about these moves. Red being that we think is a bad move, that on our behalf and on our analysis, we don't necessarily be one that we really like. Yellow being more in the middle, where we can see it can work, we can see it can not work. It's not one that we are totally in love with, but it's not one that we totally hate. And green being one that we really, really do endorse, one that we really like, one that we think could be a very successful move for both player and team. This rating system is going to be used as we go across three categories for each player. I know it sounds like a lot, but as we go through it, it's going to be really, really simple. First being price. Do we think it is a good value or bad value? Do we think the selling club is getting robbed? Or do we think that the buying club is the one being robbed? Or maybe it's a fair deal for all parties involved and it's a good move for the player and both the selling and buying club. Next would be fit. Do we think the player is a good fit for the team that he's going into? Do we see a place that he could tactically really help the team going forward and achieve whatever their goals is for the upcoming season? And lastly being priority. Do we think it's a high priority that they had to get over the line, or is it a low priority signing that we think they probably could have waited to probably further down the window and prioritize other positions, or maybe even push back to other windows? So that being said, that's enough rules. Let's get into the confirmed move so far of the 2024 transfer window. And guys, obviously, way better place where I want to start other than my club, Arsenal. As much as this is called the confirmed target section, I'm still going to include two that it seems pretty sure that they're going to happen. Nothing happens to stop them from happening. First of all, being Kai Havertz, his move from Chelsea was confirmed a little while ago. He was actually announced by the club in this past week. And it was 50 million with 15 million in add-ons. And it's a very interesting move. I think it's one where I could understand why it was being made, but I think at a point where I think that Arteta is in a place where he needs to get these signings to really work if we're going to compete with the juggernaut that is Manchester City, that is the treble three-peat winning Manchester City, he needs to make sure all these signings work. So in that case, looking at it price-wise, honestly, I would put it in a red. I think that the buying club in this position is really getting ripped off. Because while I've been a big fan of Kai Havertz and I've been a big fan of him since he's at Leverkusen, I think that his spell at Chelsea has not been one that lived up to the price. That being said, I know he's had key moments, but I still think that even at 50 million at the base fee, even before add-ons, I still think that maybe it could have been a little lower. Maybe Red is a bit harsh, you guys could let me know in the comments, but I don't like the price fit. Fit, however, weirdly enough, I do think it's a fit that I can't see working. I think this is more dependent on the confidence levels, rather, of the player involved, rather than the fit in itself. I think he's a player that could really thrive in a midfield role for us. I think when we look at especially the position that Granit Xhaka was taking up in his last season here, where he had a relief of his defensive responsibilities and a further license to roam and get into the box, overlap the left winger, overlap the striker, make early runs rather, and be able to be there for cutbacks and early shots and stuff like that. I think that's something that Kai Havertz really, really stands out when in a capacity there. I think that he's a player that really thrives on being able to have that freedom. And I think he's probably been let down actually a lot in the past by the lack of quality by his Chelsea teammates. So I think it is actually one that I can see working. But like I said, I think it's also based on a player that can be a bit hinging on confidence when it comes to his ability to play. So for that case, I'll give it a yellow rating in that area. And lastly, priority. I actually do think it's a high priority, and for this year I'll actually give it a green. Reason being, Arsenal expected both Granit Xhaka and Thomas Partey to leave in this window, and they really needed to get more depth in that besides the fact that they were there. We saw last season that Arsenal tried to charge came crippling down and they did bottle it in the end, and it was because really to a lack of depth. You know, when players in their first 11 couldn't start anymore, the subs, or the squad rather, could not really keep the momentum going. And we saw them as they drop points to the likes of like Southampton and stuff like that, where they had to rotate the first 11. And I think by growing the squad and growing the amount of players that Mikel Arteta feels that he can trust going forward, I hopefully think that we can see a more sustained title charge in the future for Arsenal Football Club. Next player, as I mentioned earlier, is Jurrien Timber. He's coming from Ajax. He's nominally a centre-back. And I think this move is really interesting and is addressing one of the questions that we got in anticipation for this video. Is how does Jurrien Timber really fit Arsenal? We're looking at a player that's going to cost roughly about 40 million. And I think that's actually pretty good value when you consider some of his teammates went for 60 million as recent as last year. And I think it's a really interesting move because I actually don't see him coming to play centre back quite often, actually. I think I see him more in a capacity to play as an inverted right back. And even later on, probably as a full-on midfielder, after watching some clips of him and some scouting highlights, I really see a player that could be explosive from starting positions, is very confident with the ball at his feet, can dribble, can take on, and his first touch in receiving is very well at evading pressure. And I think that when we look at where Arsenal again probably have some needs is in depth more on the right side. And even though he might not be used as a nominal right center back, he still will be able to provide cover there. And the reason being is that even if he might not be used as a right center back, only probably in case of emergencies, you still are looking at a scenario where Ben White could shift across the center back, Tomiyasu is an option there. And while I'm not totally against it, I think when you look at more the profile of players that Arteta has likened to at playing at that center back position, both the left and right, you're looking at players that are bigger and more physical to. But while Jurrien more depends on the pace and athleticism in his game compared to the ones that we've used in the past. However, there's one thing I've learned with Mikel Arteta is to not put anything past him. Enough of that. Into the rating system, I think at 40 million is a great price. Give it a green there. I think as a fit, I actually am really excited about this, and I'm also going to give it a green there. And while it might not have a direct path into the first team, I think that again, what is Arsenal's prerogative going into this window was increasing the squad that he can trust going forward. If there's one thing that we've learned from Pep over the season, is that I don't necessarily believe that the treble was won by just this player or this player, but the ability of the squad to maintain a high performance level while others were out of it. And that was the downfall of Arsenal last season. Whether it was out of form or injuries, they could not have depended on their squad players. And with somebody like Jurrien Timber coming in, he had both competition for places and quality in depth in the squad. Lastly being, as I said, the priority, it is a high priority again for Arsenal. It was a position last year that we literally saw that one person got injured in that area of the pitch in William Saliba after the title charge came coming down. If somebody like Jurrien Timber was in the squad, we could have seen Jurrien slotting at right back. Ben White go back to the centre-back position, which we know he's a high-quality player at. And maybe, from Isaac, we could have probably sustained the title charge. Lastly, because we don't want to stay too long, people are going to accuse me, Arsenal fan, going on and on, is Declan Rice. It's the move I'm the most excited about by far. And to be quite honest, even in price, I'm probably going to still give this a green. Reason being, I think that this is one that no matter the price, they had to get across the line. I think that if Arsenal are really going to return to that table of wanting to be considered amongst the elite clubs in Europe, there are certain things that you need to do. And one of them is also establish your foot in the transfer market. Let people know that you're not going to be bullied, and the players that you really, really want, that you're going to go out there and get them. And to compete against, again, Manchester City in the transfer market is not a simple feat to do. That being said, the player in itself is somebody I've been a massive fan about for about 3 years now, and one that I genuinely thought that we would have never been in a conversation of getting him. And now it looks like it's just a case of dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and he's going to be an Arsenal player. He's going to come in. He's going to add a phenomenal defensive presence, as well as underrated appreciation for his ball carrying and stuff like that, as well as characteristics that the money can't just buy. You can't train things like leadership and tenacity and never say die attitude. And getting more and more players like this into the team could only solidify Arsenal as we want to go on to be fighting for the biggest trophies out there. And with the winning mentality that he has, because when you hear him speak in interviews and press conferences and stuff like that, he's somebody who's never really satisfied with mediocrity. And that is, again, the mentality that Mikel Arteta has echoed into the squad as he's taken them from an A-place team to one that's challenging for the title now. So for Price, for the sake of unbiasedness, I'll put it as Origi. It is expensive, and it's one that has a huge expectation now because he has to come and perform. But honestly speaking, I'm not worried about it at all. I think that when we hear things like Mikel Arteta has been speaking to him for months about his role in the team, I am so sure that this is going to work out. This is going to work out for every person involved, not just him, but his teammates and wherever it is that Mikel Arteta has his next iteration of Arsenal going forward. So that being said, even with the fit is a green priority, it is a green. And it's one that, like I said, as you guys can tell, I am extremely excited about to go up against the biggest teams, not even just Man City, but even Bayern Munich as well, and be able to flex ourselves to show that we are a destination, that we want young players, upper-come players in their prime, entering their prime, to be at. This is that signal to the rest of Europe that we are going to be a force to reckon with. I can't knock it out, guys. Moving on to some other teams, guys. Stay tuned. Next place we head to Chelsea Football Club, as they just signed Nicholas Jackson for a little over 30 million euros. They signed him from the Villarreal club, where he managed to have 26 appearances and scored 16 goals and get 4 assists. It's a player that, after watching a few clips of him, it looked more like a player that plays not necessarily as a main man, but loves to play with another striker, play off of him a little bit. However, this is the kind of player that I actually think that Mauricio Pochettino would really like. Somebody that can play multitude of roles and probably be a halfway player between a striker and a support player as well. Something similar to probably the role that we saw Dele Alli be used in during Pochettino's days at Tottenham Football Club. It's one for the price at this day and age, 30 million for a striker that has proven in a top 5 league that he could score, is a very, very good price, and one that Chelsea has to get the green light on. In terms of fit, it is definitely a position that Chelsea has been suffering for years now, regardless of the short-term solutions that Giroud and others have provided over the years. It's one that has not seen any real good returns since the days of Diego Costa, and even that was short-lived for a lot of reasons off the pitch. So it's definitely a position of need and one that they had to get done. And so, all around, I will give this a green. My only concern being is that they are also being linked to other strikers as well. Does that mean that he is not seen as the first choice? Is he not seen as maybe the striker and maybe in other positions? Time will tell. But based on the information we have at hand right now, I have to give this a green all across the board. As well as somebody that did not come in this summer but was announced a while ago was Christopher Nkunku. He was signed for over 50 million euros. The French international arrives from RB Leipzig. And at 16 goals in the Bundesliga, he actually left as the Golden Boot winner. He's also somebody who doesn't want to play really as the nominal nine, play more as a right forward, behind the striker sort of role. But as he evolved from his days at PSG, being a more central midfielder, to being a more fluent goal scorer and creator in and closer to the front line, he's really risen to prominence. And is one that I think that Chelsea have to get the most of, especially after a summer where they've lost a lot of creative midfielders. Or midfielders rather that were charged with the creative responsibility for and have probably let down the club on more than one occasion. It's somebody again that I can see Mauricio Pochettino liking, and that's the thing with Pochettino, is that he's been somebody that has shown to be very adaptable as a coach, that he doesn't necessarily need to stick to one system and can tweak what he wants to do in order to get the most of his players there. And when I look at other players like Madueke, like Modric, like Raheem Sterling, these are the kind of players I can see combining with Christopher Nkunku, and all of them creating what should be a potent front line for Chelsea in the upcoming season. For the price, again, at just over 50 million euros for a French international who admittedly missed the last World Cup due to an injury, a Golden Boot winner, and somebody who has, again, risen to real prominence over the last 2 years. You really can't go wrong for that price. It is a priority. Midfielders is a priority for Chelsea right now after losing Mason Mount, losing Kai Havertz, losing Kovacic. And creativity has really been an issue. And while goal scoring is his main highlight, I should say, because he definitely weighs out more with goals than he has assists, I still think that just being a naturally dribbly and creative player that he is, the X-factor player he is, like, he will add that creativity, even if it's not necessarily by the final passes, the final through balls, the assists and stuff like that. And lastly, being the fit, time will, like, also tell. This one and the Jackson one is really hard to say before we see what Mauricio Pochettino's system is. But again, knowing the coach and knowing the types of players that these are, there should be a space for them in the system coming up, and hopefully we can see them flourish in their new roles. Next up, Mason Mount, Manchester United. Not confirmed yet, but it's one or two steps away from being fully confirmed. We already got the here we go. We got the tweets from David Ornstein. It's €55 million with a €5 million add-on clause. And it's one that we have been seeing coming for a while now. It's a bit of cat and mouse between the two clubs to see what was the best deal they could get. They finalized on €55 million with the €5 million add-ons. And we expecting Mason Mount to become a Manchester United player this week. It's one that I feel really conflicted about. One, because I really do like Mason Mount a lot as a player, actually. And it was reported that if it wasn't for the Chelsea-Arsenal-London rivalry, that he would have been open to the move. But it's one where I have a little concern over it. One being that I don't necessarily, he's a player that really thrives in the second phase of play to drop deeper, to be the one to receive the ball with teams pressing on him and be able to help teams play out of the press. Rather, he's a final third player. And they already have one of those in Bruno Fernandes. And what I think the thinking may be is that after seeing Bruno shine in a second phase role, in a deeper role this season, that maybe the plan is to continue using him. But I think that part of the reason that Bruno did actually work in this role is because the team played a lot deeper and they were still allowed to not necessarily be pressed that high up where his flaws may have come out to show. Now, don't get me wrong, and I know viewers of this channel know that I have my views on him. Bruno Fernandes is a phenomenal player, and I think that he's one that, especially in the final, that really shines. And I would have liked a signing that probably allowed him to go back to being a final third player. But if we're expecting these other signings that Manchester want to make, a ball-playing keeper, to move the line higher up with another centre-back, with another striker to be a little more potent in the goal, we're expecting these spaces to close a lot more as they move higher up. And as they move higher up and teams will start to press them a lot more in their first and second phases, I think that they have some players here that would struggle in those parts of the game. And it would be interesting to see how Ten Hag adapts to that if he really does plan to go there. But I mean, with the rumors that we have of players like Andre Onana being linked to Manchester United, right centre backs being linked, left, right and centre, obviously the most recent one being Kim Min-jae going to Bayern Munich, these kind of tend to lead us towards the kind of thinking that that is what he was aiming towards. And it's one that leaves me, even in the most neutral position, one of a place of concern where is the players that help them play out of the press as they look to compress the pitch a lot more and move the line higher up. Only time will tell. For the price, it's a green. A homegrown player who has shown at the highest level in the Champions League that he can perform at $55 million, I still think is a very, very good deal involved. I think that United did well to bring them down. And while they didn't bring them down by that much, the $10 to $15 million, whatever it was they brought them down by, is a good step in the right direction as United look to take away from Manchester United tax in the transfer window where teams try to overcharge them. I just said he fit. Like I said, it's one that I'm really concerned about, but I'll still give it an orange. I don't necessarily think it's quite to the point of red, but it's more to the lower end of yellow or orange, sorry, rather than closer to the green side. And lastly, being the priority, I think a midfield signing was a priority, but probably not this profile. Like I said, it's not one that I think that makes the most sense yet. But at the end of the day, Ten Hag is paid way more than I am to be able to foresee things that I can't see. So I'll still give it a yellow. So overall, that's two yellows and a green. Not the worst move in the world. Liverpool Football Club is release clause FC. Alex McAllister was signed for $35 million release clause, or so they said. And Szoboszlai was signed this week as well for a $70 million release clause. Apparently, that is where They get their deals done, and fair play to them. That's two fantastic players that they've signed there. It's almost like you have a player that's a very good final third player that has been led down a lot in end product recently, that he has not crossed 10 goals and assists in the Bundesliga and has more shown fits of talent rather than sustained end product. However, Jurgen Klopp has taken players like that in the past and turned them into some goal scoring and end product machines. And I think that both these signings really do lean towards a little change in system coming, which I'll talk about just now. But McAllister, you have a player that's comfortable in all phases of the game and really is a jack of all trades and a master of a lot of them, actually. And it's one that I don't think was that high a priority in terms of this specific profile, because I do also think Curtis Jones is somebody that could do that, and I think of Curtis Jones quite highly. But I think that as Klopp definitely is more depth in midfield and is leaning towards this box midfield system, as he ended off last season in phenomenal form, and is somebody that has now a lot of pedigree behind him. He's been in Premier League for a good few years now. He's been part and a winning, contributing part of the Argentine World Cup winning side in 2022. And I think that these are two really good signings as we push towards our box midfield role. We've looking at four signings that we want Liverpool to make over the summer, and three of those being in midfield. The fact that we've got two of those done already, and we see Trent inverting, and Fabinho had a bit of a renaissance last year. Get somebody else to also partner with Fabinho. Then you really have a healthy box midfield, because you really want players that complement one another. That one is specialist here, specialist there. And while they're all comfortable in the same roles, you want them in the places where they can really shine, places that are their forte. And with somebody like Szoboszlai playing as a right centerman, McAllister as a left centerman, and Trent inverting, Fabinho cleaning up, you really have as close to probably a perfect midfield four that you can ask for. Now, obviously, there are other parts that need to move in order for the system to work. But in terms of where we see them projecting right now, for both players, have to give them green on the fit into the current team. In terms of prices, I think McAllister prices are green. I'll give Szoboszlai price a yellow. Reason being, it is still high, and he's not somebody that has had high output numbers in the Bundesliga. As well as we know, the Bundesliga to the Premier League, outside of Manchester City signings, can tend to have a bit of translation problems, let's say, as players try to translate the end product from the Bundesliga to the Premier League. But Jurgen Klopp is somebody that knows that league very well and would definitely know how to get the most out of somebody like Szoboszlai, as they have a little change in system. And while this might not be the most conventional signing, it won't be the first time that Jurgen has used attacking midfielders that are like this. I think he's somewhat similar, with a lot more leading towards ball striking, rather than creativity, than Götze. But there are similarities we need to, for me. And lastly, would be criticality, priorities. Both were high priorities. They were letting go a lot of midfielders come in this window going here. Milner left, Ox left, and they were already dealing with depth issues. I think it's very good recruitment. I think McAllister, again, just a little lower than Szoboszlai, because I really do believe in Curtis Jones. And he's currently at the under 21 Euros and has been shining throughout. And is somebody that may block the ceiling, but the club is the ones that want to win, not necessarily players. So if anybody get blocked on the way up, that's just part of it, right, guys? But like I said, all in all, it's been really good moves. I put Szoboszlai price at a yellow instead of a green, but besides that, it's been greens mostly across the board. Next up, and the last team we'll actually talk about in the Premier League, is Tottenham Hotspurs. Now, yeah, they're gonna say Arsenal fan, whatever. However, those who actually know me know that once I actually think that there's sense and logic to what our club's doing, I will 100% give it praise. And I really do like everything about what Tottenham have been doing this summer. The Vicario signing in goal, and I'll be honest, I don't know much about him. Somebody highlight reels of him have him looking a little dodgy there. I can't say much for that move. However, the links that they've been having at centre backs and stuff like that, I love them. And I genuinely love the signing of James Maddison. And I think it probably is pushing them towards moving out Kane, as you have somebody that wants to dominate that area of the pitch that Kane usually drops deep in. However, it is solving a creativity issue that they've been having for so long. And you have somebody that is not just creative, but is not afraid of scoring as well. And it's somebody that I've been a big fan of for a very long time. And when we look at the prices we've been calling so far, with the exception of McAllister, Madison is going to fall at the second lowest price that we've heard of so far on this episode. And that in itself is a green light towards value for money that Tottenham are getting right now. They're not in any European competition. They are really looking to rebuild from the ground up. And this is a fantastic move in the right direction. And it does feel a little bit more getting back to the grounds of what actually got Tottenham to the point where they were coming on to the end of Pochettino's reign, where they were a little bit more humble, for lack of a better word, in the way that they were approaching the window, as they got with somebody with Ange as their manager, who also has had to work from the ground up to get to where he is now. And I really do like all the moves I've been having so far. So specifically on James Maddison, because like I said, I can't really talk about Vicario so much. However, Hugo Lloris was a train wreck. I need to get him out of there for the longest while. I genuinely don't know how he lasted so long, because he has fallen off a cliff so badly. James Maddison, price green, 100%. I need green, 100%. I would fit. Ange has looked like a very much possession-based coach and somebody that does play attractive football, and it's one that I can't see Maddison falling in. And with the signing of him, we can probably see Kane go back to being more of an out-and-out nine. However, I think that's kind of likely, and I still would like to see Kane leave the club. I would also like to probably see Richarlison used more in the starting level, because for all the banter that he's incurred to himself, I do think that he's a player there. And maybe with somebody like James Maddison, we could see the unlocking of Richarlison happening. So, yeah, guys, last Premier League club, two clubs outside us, and then we move on. Next up, like as I said, as we move out to the Premier League, we have Jude Bellingham going for what was a record fee on to Rice, for an English player to Real Madrid. I really like the move. I like Jude Bellingham saying things like, you know, that it's really important to him to go to a club that is football heritage, and to show that it's not all about money, albeit he's going to get paid really well. It is a fit. I think it's a good fit. I think that it is a place where Real Madrid knows that they need to rejuvenate as they look to phase out Luka and Cruz as time goes by. And I think that he's a good replacement for Modric, actually. And while that's obviously phenomenally huge boots to fill for somebody who's an all-time man, a top five midfielder of all time at a minimum, it is profile-wise a lot of similarity. Players that try running with the ball at their feet, players that can have good end product, and players that have this tenacity to shrug off challenges and to move past players and stuff like that. So from a fit point of view, it is a green light from me. I think it's a really good fit. I'll give price a yellow, not because I don't think that he's worth it, but because we've all seen that with these high price transfers, this even like goes back to Rice as well, that there's a lot of pressure on these players to perform. And the reality is that in the top 10 signings of all time, only two players, I think I glanced at the list the other day, were definite successes. And is there a correlation between the two? I'm not sure, but there's a lot of time that I think players do spend money a bit wastefully on some of these players. And a lot of that, like when we look at like Griezmann and Dembele and Coutinho to Barcelona, just examples of three of those players that are in the top 10. They didn't get returns for their money at all. And some of that was partially down to poor scouting. But besides the point, I give it a yellow just because of how expensive it was. But he is a fantastic player, and I really am excited to see him in Los Blancos. And lastly would be priority. It was a high priority because, again, these two players are really getting up there in age. As much as Modric seems like he's timeless, it's somebody that they needed to get depth for. And I think it probably might mean the end for some other midfielders there, or players I would have liked to play midfielder maybe forced to play elsewhere, and players like Fede Valverde, who was even deemed earlier in the summer by Flo Perez no longer untouchable. So, yeah, we'll see what else they bring in. They also have brought in Fran García at left back, a returning player from the Real Madrid Academy for a release cost of like $6 million or something like that. And he was one of the best left backs in the league. He's played in a position that they have needed recruitment in. And Fulham Mendy has been an issue for a while now. I have been using an assortment of other players there, including Camavinga, who's nominally a midfielder. And it is good recruitment. It's somebody that has shown that he's performed in La Liga, and it's good recruitment to also bring in these homegrown players, because I also am somebody that believes that that's a very core part of these big clubs as well. So good moves all around for Real Madrid so far. Next up is Barcelona. They brought in Inigo Martinez on a free and Gundogan on a free. Inigo brought in more in a backup capacity because Christensen and Araujo have been just great as the starting pairing, as Barcelona had a record low of goals conceded last season in all of Europe. As well as with Gundogan, they lost a lot of experience this year with both Jordi Alba and Busquets leaving. And you have somebody who literally just captained a side to a three-peat and a treble. Getting to go to the club that he's wanted to go to since a boy, he is a great fit to bring back that leadership. He has not actually showed that he's been aging in terms of his ability to execute on the field. And is a good technician and example, I guess, to players like Gavi and stuff like that of what they could be molded into. He does not address a specific need for me. So they are going to be harsh and give it a red. But for free, you have to give it a green. And in terms of priority, they have needed midfielders. Because that was somewhere that when all the injuries started to happen for them last season and the European campaigns in particular derailed, that's kind of where it came from. So I will give that a green as well. But in terms of fit, I think it's more a case of they needed a defensive midfielder. And we've seen that with links to players like Brozovic, who looks to be going off to Saudi Arabia. That is something that they do recognize. But still, it's a good player to have, a great player to have in the dressing room, a world-class player on his day as well. So yeah. Green all around, guys. That's it for the confirm moves section of this pod or episode, rather. Forget we're on YouTube. If there's somebody that I left out that you guys want me to talk about, want the team to talk about, because I wouldn't be here alone all the time, please let us know in the comments and I will get to them next week on next week's episode. Okay, guys, in this next section, we're going to do rumors, right? And I'll be honest, I know I made it sound like we're going to go into real depth before, but I don't actually want to go into that much depth in case that the transfers do actually materialize and we get to actually go through them properly like we did in the first half of this episode. So that being said, this was more stuff that you guys sent in and I'm just responding them to. So first off, we have kudos to Brighton. Love the move. McAllister was being used more as a number 10 last season, and only more injury crisis, he was pushed back deeper. That says that is a role that they want to be using that player in. And Kudus is naturally a number 10. We saw him look pretty good actually at the World Cup, and he has had insane dribble stats in for Ajax in the Eredivisie, and is a player that I think is very exciting. And while McAllister outside the penalty spot did not bring that much end product, that is something that we should be expecting from Mohamed Kudus. So it's a move that I really like. It's a move that I even liked for Arsenal as well, a club that's at the Champions League level. So if we're talking about a club that's at the Europa League level getting him, then by all means, it definitely is a good move. Next up, somebody suggested if Manchester City should replace Gundogan with Ebenezer Eze. Now that sounds weird. It really does. But I looked into the stats a little bit. And they do have similar off-the-ball stats. All the defensive stats, they more or less range in the same percentiles. On the ball, however, Eze has a lot more to do in terms of progressive passing that he's had done at Palace if he's to go to 15 at City. However, I think we see two players that are comfortable arriving late at the box and are technically very secure. It's not a move that I think I would have seen if somebody didn't suggest it, but a lot of that progressive passing can also be down to the fact that at the end, he's at Crystal Palace. At Manchester City, it might seem like a weird fit at first, but I think it's one that can be a very much out-of-the-box solution for Pep Guardiola. However, in terms of replacing Gundogan, I kind of have not really liked the links that have been used so far, if I'm being completely honest. I don't necessarily like the Kovacic one. I think that is one that should be viewed as more depth than anything else, because at 30 years old, I think that Kovacic problem has more been consistency than anything else. That he is someone of the same profile to some extent as Kovacic, but I think that consistency is something that has struggled with a lot. And as he's getting older, is there really time for him to mold that consistency into his game? Maybe, but for how long? I would have liked for somebody more like Florian Wirtz, who again might be known more as a more attacking player. But as we see also that Gundogan was pushed higher up the field this year, why not go for somebody more like that as well? So that is my suggestion. I think that the Eze one is a very much out of the box one that I would still give a yellow to because adaptation and stuff like that. But it's an interesting one and one that I would have liked to see, that reality is we probably wouldn't see at all. Next up, we have Spurs links to center backs in Van de Ven and Tapsuba. Love them. Love the links. I like the prospect of Van de Ven a lot more than Tapsuba, reason being I'm somebody that loves the aesthetics of a left footer, center back, and a right footer one. They have a ton of right footers there. Quality not really there so much, but they have them. Actually, if it was up to me, I sign both of them and replace whoever's there to begin with. And it does lean into the rebuild that is going on under Ange at Spurs and some moves that I really would like to see happen. I saw links for Spurs that Romero was being asked for by Juventus expeditiously. He's terrible. Nobody can change my opinion of that. He is so poor. He is so rash. He is somebody that has all the athletic ability and no brain on how to use it at all. You got lucky that he was decent in his first season. And he has been terrible. God alone knows how he didn't mess up the World Cup for Argentina. So, I like the move for both of them. Fabrizio has said explicitly that it's not a case of them buying both. And really for one. However, if this link for Romero does materialize to Juventus, you never know. So, it's one that I do like. Kane's future, Real Madrid, bro. Or Bayern. I'd rather Real Madrid, though. But just go. Just go, man. You're too talented to finish your career without goals. And look, I get the whole loyalty stuff, and I do. But I think somebody who had the potential to be in all-timer conversations, you need to also have the medals upon the table to be in those conversations as well. And staying at Spurs, you're never going to get it. I'm fairly confident I'll probably go the rest of my life without seeing Spurs win anything major, let alone minor trophies like Carabao and stuff like that. So if he wants to get accolades in order to really stack up his career, he has to go elsewhere. And at Bayern Munich, it is a league that they tend to dominate a lot more than Real Madrid dominate La Liga. But probably at Real Madrid, they have a higher chance of winning the Champions League and as well as being more competitive in the league that he has been at Spurs. So please go, bro. Just go. And I think it's also a good time under Ange for Spurs to hit the reset button. To look at this as a time period where, okay, let's get back to foundations. Let's rebuild from the ground up and get the club going again. And stop these stop start solutions we've been having. Ever since we sacked Mauricio Pochettino and brought in Mourinho and brought in Nuno. Can't remember what's the rest of Nuno's name. Nuno and Antonio Conte. Get back to where you guys were before that when you brought in Mauricio Pochettino. And let's see Spurs actually build back up themselves properly. Vega to Chelsea is a move I don't like. As much as I think Chelsea need a lot more in the creativity department, he's not somebody that I would play deeper. And I think that's where this Chelsea fan probably was hinting at, was Vega playing deeper at Chelsea. I like the player a lot, actually. And I'm very scared of him going to Manchester City because I think he can be molded in a very similar mold to Bernardo Silva. That highly, I think, of his talent. That being said, I think Chelsea need to look for players that play a little bit more deeper, because in terms of those players that play behind the striker, even though they got rid of a lot, when we look at Jackson, Sterling, Ekongu, Madueke, Modric, there's a lot of players playing there. Whereas deeper, the only senior player you're really looking at is Enzo and Kani, who has played limited minutes there as well. I don't even necessarily like the Caicedo move, because I think that's also limited Caicedo to his best abilities. Because neither one of them are ones that you want to really sit. They both want to get on the ball, play a little bit higher up, to play the ball between the legs and receive the ball through press. And while in theory having two of those is nice, I don't necessarily think it's a nice balance, we'll say. But it's still a very good move in the weekend. And that's one that I think Chelsea fans should favor more than the type to go for a Gabriel Vega in particular. Lastly, we have here is replacing Partey. I am no judge, jury, or executioner in any means or fashion. So, all what going on with Partey off the field, it kind of writes off everything else that have him good on the field to me as a player. Granted that those things are true. Regardless of whether those things are true or not, they even consistent on the field as well. Consistency, he's getting older, availability and stuff like that. And with that, I could understand Arsenal wanting to move him on now. That being said, I think that Lavia would be a really good person to bring in as well. I think Fofana from Monaco is also a nice one as well. And I really am open to this position being more project signing than being somebody to directly replace, because we are bringing in Declan Rice. There's rumors today, thank Jesus, that Xhaka might stay. And I prefer him staying than Thomas Partey staying. And Lavia's more somebody I think is of that mold. However, Lavia's also rumored to Liverpool. And I'll be honest, if I had to choose between the two, if I was Lavia, I would actually go Liverpool. Because I think there's a more straightforward path of first team football here that as they eventually age out Fabinho, he can go into that position as well. So, yeah, guys, that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please like and subscribe. We'll be back here every week. Leave your comments. Follow us on social media everywhere, Corner Flag Talk. And yeah, catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.